From News Talk 580 1059 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Now, here's your host, Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. So, what are the arguments for and against Proposition 6? Specifically, how does it relate to the San Joaquin Valley? First, we're going to have two supporters of Prop 6, Mike DeManuel, co-founder and chairman of the Lincoln Club of Fresno County. Welcome, Mike.
Welcome. Thank you.
Oh, good. And Michael Turnipseed with the Kern County Taxpayers Association. We got two Mikes on. So, Mike DeManuel, you're going to go as Mike, and Michael Turnipseed, you're going to be Michael. All right? So, Michael Turnipseed, let's start
Sounds good to me.
That's, by the way, my twin brother's name is Michael, so it's a lot of Michaels in my life. Justification, Michael Turnipseed, used by the opponents of Prop 6 and for the state's new fuel tax, is that the current state highway and road maintenance backlog is about $54 billion. When they add local roads, the backlog could be as high as $130 billion. So if Prop 6 passes and these new fuel taxes and vehicle fees are overturned, where's the money going to come from to pay for that $54 billion state highway bill, not to mention the $130 billion local road maintenance bill?
Well, and that is a consideration because in Kern County, the city and the county and the cities are going to get about $40 million a year from the fund. But I think the real problem is the whole $16 billion that the state budget is for fuel taxes and vehicle fees being spent, less than half really get to the streets. According to the San Jose Mercury News, highway repairs, maintenance, and public transit take 59% of the money. $3.5 billion goes to enforcement regulation. Parks, general funds get another $1.2 million. State debt gets another $1.2 billion. Admin gets another $443 million. So we're paying taxes to fix our roads, and we're not seeing them. And I think that's why the backlash is we're tired of being charged our taxes at the gas pump and not getting a real return on the roads because money is still being diverted.
Mike DeManuel, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think even before we talk about the merits of Prop 6, the title and summary is completely misleading. And, you know, back in 1971, when voters gave the Attorney General the authority to title and summarize ballot initiatives, I don't know if they envisioned completely misleading language that is used to mischaracterize what people are voting on, which is simply this. This is qualified to repeal the gas tax. It's on the ballot as canceling transportation projects. It's completely false. The legislature has always had the opportunity to fund the backlog of transportation projects. They've chosen not to. And this is despite the explosive growth in the general fund revenues, the explosive growth, frankly, of gas tax revenues. You know, opponents of six talk about the fact that the tax rate itself has not gone up, but there's 10 more million people in California than there was 20 years ago. So there's more people driving, there's more cars on the road, and opponents lament that the high mileage cars don't, you know, cause people to not use as much gas, right. They're not seeing the revenue that they want to see, but there's no evidence that they would spend it on this backlog anyway. So I think the no campaign led by the Attorney General, a false characterization of the initiative really is misleading the public.
That's interesting. I mean, we can get into a discussion about whether someone else should be drafting that, like the legislative analyst, those proposals, more of a nonpartisan office. But, you know, but didn't Prop 69 in June say the legislature can't raid those funds for non-transportation purposes? I thought that was passed in June.
Well, it says that. Yeah, it says that, but
that only pertains. That only pertains to the new SB 1 funds.
That's true.
It does not pertain to all the taxes before that. So it was a fancy little, again, hoodwink that our legislators tried to put over our heads. But it's just not true. The majority of the money now it's still the original tax money is still being spent other places instead of where they're intended.
Well, you know, Caltrans is saying, though, that about half of their major construction projects could be delayed, downsized, or deleted, downsized, or delayed if this thing doesn't, if the tax doesn't stay in place. You're not buying that? This is for Mike DeManuel.
Well, I'm not buying it because the legislature has the power of the purse and they set the budget. And as I said, they very deliberately have underfunded infrastructure for the past 6 or 7 years in order to make this tax more palatable to people. And that, well, that's been a deliberate tactic on their part.
Well, let me ask,
directly from my member of the assembly.
Well, let me ask this, Mike DeManuel. One of the arguments is that, the state budget has grown. It's $138 billion. The argument on the yes for six side is, listen, you can find $5 billion a year to fund roads. You don't need this tax. But the argument against Prop 6 would say, well, wait a second. 40% of the general fund goes to education, and there is very little in terms of discretionary money that the legislature has. And most of it is, the UC or the CSU, the court system, things like that. So what are you going to cut to come up with that $5.4 billion a year?
Well, I don't think you need to cut anything. You need to use the taxes that are already designated for over-the-road transportation for their purpose. As Mr. Turnipseed pointed out, they've been diverted to other measures. I mean, tell me what relevance a gas tax has to funding public transportation.
Is that a rhetorical
really
question?
Or do you have any relevance to that?
Is that a rhetorical question? I mean, the argument on the other side would be, well, more people use mass transit, less people are driving, so it has a relationship to the wear and tear on roads. If you get people taking mass transit, fewer cars on the road.
Well, that must mean that there's less wear and tear on the roads then, so why raise the tax? None of the no argument makes sense at all, including the backlog numbers, which I think are horribly inflated. And by the way, if there is backlog in road maintenance, it's only because, the legislature is deliberately underfunded the road maintenance. And this is very demonstrably true. The amount of money that we're spending on road maintenance projects has not increased commensurately with the increase in the general fund. They've simply decided to spend the money elsewhere.
There has, over the last few years, though, I mean, when I was looking at some state budget stuff, the state has increased transportation funding by about 75% over the last 2 years. You could probably make the argument it hasn't been doing it prior to that, but it has increased it recently. The other thing, too, is, I mean, you make a really good point. The state budget, or any budget, is really an expression of your priorities, right? Where the rubber hits the road, no pun intended, what the state wants to spend money on. The question comes back to, obviously, at this point, they've made other public policy decisions. But let me ask you this, Mike DeManuel. One of the arguments you were talking about, we talked about earlier, the gas tax really has increased over the last 20 years. Lots more folks in the valley. They're driving more. There's more fuel-efficient vehicles. And so the argument is that the gas tax hasn't kept up with maintenance needs. What about indexing diesel and gas taxes for things like inflation and population and vehicle miles traveled and fuel economy, just to keep revenue up with demand? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess I really don't have a thought on it. I think part of what you're hearing from me today is a realization that with the highest tax structures in the country, income, sales, all tax increases are difficult for me to swallow. These hit the poor, the middle class, especially the hardest. And so I look at what California is charging, and I say to myself, why can't it do the functions of government for what it's charging? So mine is more of a philosophical opposition and more of a question. And so, indexing, okay. I mean, you index, but I think what you're really doing there is just making the tax go up indefinitely, regardless of need and regardless of demand. So I would probably be against that. It's a great way to bury the tax where people don't know that it's being increased, because the legislature is not proactively doing it every time that it increased the tax. So I think I'd probably be against it.
Yeah. Michael Turnipseed from Kern County Taxpayers, what do you think about indexing?
Well, once we get our fuel taxes spent where they're supposed to be, in the 2018 budget, $16 billion was raised in fuel taxes and vehicle fees. $7.5 billion of that, 40%, didn't go to anything even related to transportation. Get the transportation house in order so we actually know where we should be. But we don't know where we should be because they're diverting 40% to everything else they want to for all their goody projects, and they've neglected the roads and the transportation system in California for 20 years.
Okay. Well, Mike DeManuel, let me ask you this. I believe you're pretty active in Republican politics. There are some political observers out there that saying Prop 6 is more about, frankly, ginning up the Republican base to get them to come out to vote. and particularly in competitive congressional districts. But you know, you're seeing some traditional Republican allies that seem to be divided on the measure at the state level. At least the Chamber of Commerce, for example, is coming out against Prop 6. Is that true in the Valley? Is that happening in the Valley as well, that local chambers are against Prop 6? Where are they? And what is it doing with Valley Republicans?
I don't know where my local chamber stands on it. I do know this. The only reason there's division on it is because of the title of the initiative. If it was repeal the gas tax, it would be polling 75 to 80% in favor. But because the title is cancellation of transportation projects, then Republicans are looking at that and saying, do I really want to do that? Well, you're not really doing that if you vote yes on six. What you're really doing is forcing the legislature to deal with the backlog within its existing revenue structures. And so this is why there's division primarily. I understand the Cal Chamber, but I'm not sure that this division within the Republican side of the conservatives is anything but related to the title of the initiative.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for that conversation. Up next, what do those opposed to Proposition 6 think? Yep. Why do they think the passage of Prop 6 would actually hurt the Valley? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition. Welcome back. We're talking Proposition 6 on this November's ballot. It would repeal recent fuel tax increases and vehicle fees to pay for a $54 billion state highway maintenance backlog, among other things. Our guests are leaders of various councils of government, or COGs, in the Valley. A COG's primary function is to provide transportation planning and programming in their respective counties. So what do these Valley transportation leaders think of Proposition 6? We're going to find out. We have Rosa Park from the Stanislaus County COG. Welcome, Rosa.
And Thank you.
Great. We have Aaron Hakimi from the Kern County Council of Governments. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you.
And we have Tony Boren with the Fresno COG. Welcome, Tony.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's start with Rosa. I'm going to ask each one of you this question. What are the road maintenance backlog kind of needs in your county? So, Rosa, in Stanislaus County, what are the needs?
Okay, so I'm just going to go countywide because it's been a large need for a long time. So in speaking to my public works directors in our county, the backlog is about potentially $350 million backlog. Okay. And this is because in our county, we were not a self-help county for many years. We just became a self-help county.
Can you explain what that is to our audience? Could you explain that to our audience, what
a
self-help county is?
Yes, it's a half-cent sales tax. Yes. Gladly. It's a half-cent sales tax in the county that people that are, you know, for purchases, they decided to self-tax themselves for road improvements.
Yeah.
And our neighbor to the north, San Joaquin County, has been a self-help county for 30, 40 years, and Stanislaus County has not, just recently in 2016. So as you can imagine, our roads, just the county in itself, their pavement condition index, it's 55%.
And passing
statewide average is 66.
I know that statewide average is 66, but isn't passing like 70 is considered like an average grade for pavement? I think that's the number. And so if you're in the 50s, you're in kind of the F category in terms of road conditions.
That is how it's classified, yes.
You know, Aaron,
in the F category, so we're very...
Let me ask Aaron this, in Kern County. Are you guys a self-help county?
No, Kern County is one of only two counties in the Central Valley, Kern and Kings, that are not self-help counties.
And one of the advantages, I know that Fresno County is a self-help county, one of the advantages of that is you can leverage that money for other dollars, and so that's, you get a bigger bang for the buck when it's the arguments for taxing yourself. But let me ask you then, Aaron, in Kern County, what are the road maintenance backlog needs in Kern County?
Well, estimates vary, and that's a great question, and I'll tell you why estimates vary. Estimates vary from about $500 million to $2.5 billion, and that begs the question, why does it vary so much? And the reason it varies so much is because we've continually lowered our standards. Just like you were saying, well, isn't a C or a C-plus pretty much the standard now? And that's what's happened over the last 10 years. Instead of shooting for really good or good to excellent roads, say a B or a B plus, right now we're only shooting to maybe get to C or C plus, and that's truly unfortunate.
Now, one of the things that people fail to maybe calculate is that the cost of their front end of their car when they're going down a bad road. I mean, what I've seen is typically it costs you about $700 or so to repair your car for if you're traveling on bad roads. The taxes are about the same amount, about $750. So I guess it's pay me now or pay me later. Tony, what about Fresno County? What's the situation there in terms of road maintenance backlog?
Well, Mark, we estimate it to be about $2 billion a year in Fresno County. You know, we have the Fresno County road network alone is 3,700 miles of local roads, and those roads are basically the road that takes our ag goods from farm to market. That's the first link in that whole trip. So they get lots of wear and tear, and you know, it's like anything. If you don't maintain it, it's going to decay. And like anything, if the sooner you get to the repair, the less it will cost you to fix it. But we've just been in this situation for a while now, and so that's why the revenues produced by SB1 can do so much, because we've been hurting for so long.
Yeah, that sounds like more than more road miles than some states. That's a lot of road miles. Aaron, let me ask you this: in Kern County, if Prop 6 passes, and so the fuel taxes, gas taxes are rescinded, what are there any local projects in Kern County that would be then on the chopping block?
Yes, there are dozens and dozens of projects that would be on the chopping block. As you mentioned a few minutes ago, Kern County is not a self-help county, so we don't have a reserve that we can use. We are using the funds that we get now, which are entirely from state and federal funds, to deliver projects, and the new funds that we have coming in are being used to match federal and state funds. So there's well more than two dozen local projects all throughout the county that will be delayed or outright.
And any one that you could specifically point to that is could be in trouble?
On the local side, all the major arterial streets that are scheduled to be rehabilitated in the next year would be affected. Mm-hmm. The projects would either be scaled back significantly, delayed significantly, or canceled outright.
Okay, Tony, what about Fresno County?
On our arterial.
I'm sorry. We don't have a lot of time. I want to make sure we get everybody in here. So, Tony, what are the thoughts on Fresno County? What's on the chopping block if this thing passes?
Here on the rural side, the county side, Mark, we've got 9 miles of Fowler Avenue between South and Elkhorn that will get repaved. We've got 7 miles up on Huntington Lake Road near 168. We've got 4 miles of Jane Avenue out between Huron and Galinga, Central Avenue between Maple and Peach in the city, North Avenue from Elm to Fig, Clinton, Blackstone to Marola, Shields, Sunnyside to Fowler, okay. Blackstone, Shaw to
okay.
Ashland.
I get the message.
I could talk about our 99 project. Again, we've got a bunch of 99 projects that are going to be impacted if SB1 goes away as well.
Okay, let me ask Rosa. What about
Stanislaus
County. What's on the chopping block if this thing passes?
For us, Mark, it would be very devastating because we've had a project called McHenry Avenue, which is a project that it connects with our neighboring county, San Joaquin. It's kind of our safety access. If there's an accident or something where Highway 99 gets blocked or closed, that's our gateway to get out of the county or divert traffic to as an exit. And it's a project that has been waiting. We've been waiting because of funding. And now that we have SB1, that is one project that is being program to receive the next funding. So that would be a project that would be definitely delayed. And it's unfortunate because all it needs is $4 million, and we could keep going on this project. And then another project that is major for us is our State Route 132 West. It's an east-west connection off of Highway 99. That would also be impacted.
Okay. Now, Tony, let me ask you this. You know, proponents of Prop 6 argue that the money can be found elsewhere. I mean, we heard that from Mike DeManuel earlier. That these new fuel and vehicle fees just aren't necessary. For example, they're suggesting that we could reallocate auto sales taxes to local transportation agencies. I'm assuming that means the COGS. They claim that could raise $6.5 billion and provide more than enough money and local control. What do you think?
Well, you know, Mark, we took that and went to the Board of Equalization website and ran some numbers, and basically we came down to the number about $23.5 million is what we could achieve if we went the sales tax for autos in Fresno County. Now, that's just to give you a sense of scale. Right now, the gas tax that we collect in Fresno County is $42.4 million a year. So just to give you that's the gas tax we currently collect. This would be $23.4 million if we went this other route. I can tell you this, that SB1 alone is going to raise about $32.8 million, right? So that's 32.8 through SB1 versus 23.4 if we went these sales tax.
So another 50% again, more. Yeah.
That's just a gross number. There's so many other moving parts to that. So, but that's something to work with.
Rose, what do you think about the idea of giving auto sales taxes to local transportation agencies? That way, you don't have to have these vehicle fees and fuel tax increases.
Well, Mark, I have an issue with that because, as we know, there's simply just not enough money for things. All you're doing is replacing that funding and a shortfall for the roads to creating another shortfall somewhere else. And then, it will probably need to be replenished with yet another tax. So I just don't see that that's the answer to the situation. And like Tony explained, SB1 it's focused for transportation, and that's an accountability. Everyone's going to have to be showing where the project, the funding is going to. So you cannot move it around to anything else but transportation improvement.
So it sounds like, Aaron, that the argument here is that you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, because if you give this auto sales tax to local transportation agencies, that money is also used to hire police officers and firefighters and into various general funds, and now you're taking that money and giving it just to transportation, and you have to backfill the loss of money for public safety. Is that the issue?
Exactly. We all work for elected public officials, and when they have a choice between spending money on public safety and education and public health, that is always going to win over transportation. So the idea that we just magically take $6.5 billion from education, UCs, CSUs, courts, things like that, is just an unrealistic argument.
Okay, we've only got a little time left here in this segment, so let me just kind of go around the table here and just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I think we know where you guys are headed here. But so, Tony, Prop 6, vote yes or no on that, and why, in a very brief summary.
Well, I think you got to vote no on Prop 6 because without it, our transportation infrastructure is going to continue to decline and become more expensive to repair, and we all know that we need that transportation infrastructure. I get the fact that folks may have issues with the way that the money is being raised. I don't dispute that. I acknowledge there's two sides to that argument, but there's just the reality of this is the state of our transportation infrastructure.
Okay, Rosa Park in Stanislaus County, what are your thoughts on Prop 6, yay or nay?
Obviously, I do not support Proposition 6. Simply put, the taxes collected by SB1 are paid by motor vehicle operators who receive the direct benefit of the maintenance, improvement, and replacement of our roads.
Okay, well, that was very pithy. So, Aaron, we've only got about 40 seconds left. Your thoughts on Prop 6, yes or no?
No, Prop 6 should not pass. The consequences would be catastrophic to our transportation system.
Well, there you have it. A good discussion on both sides of this issue. I want to thank our guests, Mike DeManuel, co-founder and chairman of the Lincoln Club of Fresno County, Michael Turnipseed, the executive director of the Kern County Taxpayers Association, Rosa Park from the Stanislaus COG, Aaron Hakimi from the Kern COG, and Tony Bourne from the Fresno COG. Thanks, all of you, for joining us.
If you want to stay up to date on state and local politics, you can sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Maddie Daily, by logging on to our website at maddieinstitute.org. This is Mark Kepler for The Maddie Report. Thanks for joining us.
The views expressed in The Maddie Report are those of the individuals participating in the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the California Channel or The Maddie Institute. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the points and opinions expressed on The Maddie Report, visit our website at maddieinstitute.org.
You're listening to The Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition, on KMJ.
Additional funding for the Maddy Report made possible by a grant from The Wonderful Company, harvesting health and happiness around the world. From the California Channel at the State Capitol and the Maddy Institute, it's the Maddy Report with Executive Director of the Maddy Institute, Mark Kepler.
Welcome. Prop 6, the gas tax repeal, is among the most contentious on the November ballot. Before we hear the pro and con of the proposal, we want to first get a nonpartisan analysis of Prop 6. We're joined by Paul Galazewski, who's an expert in transportation from the nonpartisan Legislative Analyst Office. Welcome.
Thanks.
So first, can you briefly explain how transportation funding works in California? How much is spent on transportation? Where does the money come from?
Sure. Transportation funding in California totals about $35 billion annually. This pays for transportation infrastructure, such as road and highways, as well as transit and rail services. A little more than half of the funding comes from local government sources, primarily sales taxes, transit passenger fares, and city and county general funds. About one-third comes from state sources, primarily taxes on gasoline and diesel, as well as certain vehicle taxes. And then the remaining $7 billion comes from the federal government, and they get their revenues primarily from taxes on gasoline and diesel.
Okay, so how are state taxes approved generally? How does that work?
So there's two ways that state taxes can be approved. First, the legislature can pass a bill containing a tax with a two-thirds vote.
Supermajority.
Supermajority, and then have it signed by the governor.
Okay.
The second way is the voters can pass a proposition at an election that contains a tax.
Okay. So how are state fuel and vehicle fees levied?
So the state has what are known as excise taxes on gasoline and diesel fuel.
We see those at the pump.
Yes. Okay. These are charged per gallon of fuel that you purchase. Mm-hmm. So for gasoline, it's currently 41.7 cents per gallon.
Okay.
And for diesel, it's 36 cents per gallon. Okay. There's also sales tax on gas and diesel, but the rates are a little bit different for a variety of historical factors for those. In terms of the vehicle taxes, there's two vehicle charges that are colloquially referred to as car taxes generally. Mm-hmm. The first is the vehicle license fee. One's been around for many, many decades.
Yes, we all know we signed that check.
Yes, that one you pay when you register your car.
Right.
It's a little over 0.5% of the value of the car.
Okay.
The second one is new. It was created by Senate Bill 1, and it's called a transportation improvement fee.
Okay.
That one can vary from $25 to $175, depending on the value of your vehicle.
Right.
But most people pay $25 or $50.
Okay. Fees or taxes, it seems like. I mean, it's the same thing. You're paying the government. There's also an amount in there for electric vehicles, electric cars.
Right. That fee has not taken effect yet.
Okay.
That will start a few years from now, and that would be $100 for electric vehicle owners.
Okay, so that's all kind of sets up the issue of why are they trying to get more money? The argument is that there's $54 billion in a backlog of highway and road maintenance in California. And when you add local roads into it, CSAC, the Organization for Counties, says that it could be up as high as $130 billion when you add local road issues and maintenance in that. So this money is going to be paid, is about $5 billion, a bit more, over 10 years for highway and road projects. How are those funds going to be allocated?
Yeah, so Senate Bill 1 increased the gas and diesel excise taxes, diesel sales taxes, and it created the transportation improvement fee. It's estimated it'll raise about $53 billion over the 10 years.
A little
years.
Shorter of the 54 that they say they need.
Right.
And not all that money is going to road maintenance.
No, about two-thirds is specifically for road and highway repairs and maintenance. Mm-hmm. The rest is for various programs, some of which are to alleviate congestion, improve trade corridors, some are transit programs. In terms of how the funds are allocated, there are specific formulas set forth in the legislation. They're a bit complicated, but I'd say generally the way to think about it is the gas and diesel excise tax money is generally paying for the road and highway maintenance and repairs. The diesel sales tax money is generally paying for transit.
Okay.
And then the new transportation improvement fee pays for both.
Okay. How much is it going to cost the average driver in California?
So most drivers use gasoline, and when you look at how much gasoline is being consumed and how many drivers there are and how much the new tax is, it works out to about $70 per driver per year for the gas excise tax. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, the transportation improvement fee, most people are going to be paying either $25 or $50. On average, it's closer to $50. So altogether, about $120 per year. Now, it's going to vary for specific individuals, depending on the fuel economy of their car. And that also doesn't include the effect of the diesel taxes.
And then the question is, how much is it going to cost to fix your front end if you're going down bumpy roads? Anyway, thank you very much for that conversation. Up next, a view in support of Prop 6, John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. What are the arguments for supporting Prop 6 and repealing the gas tax? Our guest would know. He's John Kupal of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Welcome back to the Maddie Report.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Mark. Thank you.
So, why are you supporting Prop 6?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. Number one, California is already overtaxed. But number two, I don't think anyone disputes the fact that California roads are in terrible shape, and we need to do something about it. The problem is that the gas tax that was passed last year without voter approval via SB1 was done so without any reforms over Caltrans, without any reforms over CEQA, without any labor reforms. So if we're going to have the nation's highest gas tax, shouldn't we also have some reforms that go with it?
You're close about the highest. We're number two, my understanding is. Well, after this tax, we're behind Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania or Connecticut, one of the two. I think you're right, though.
Pennsylvania. Yeah, yes. So anyway, we're close. For a second.
Let's debate that point. Right. Would you want to be number one or number
two? Well, there is. I mean, listen, there's a $54 billion maintenance backlog, and you know, everybody knows the roads are in pretty bad shape. If we don't fix it, it's just going to get bigger. So if Prop 6 passes and the gas tax is repealed, where's the money going to come from to address that maintenance backlog?
Number one, I think one of the things that Assemblyman Vince Fong introduced last year, which couldn't even get a hearing, is a comprehensive plan on how to address our backlog and transportation needs. And the Republicans in the California legislature came up with a plan of $12 billion almost immediately without tax increases. And they did that by moving some funds around, also by using some of the general fund. Remember, Governor Brown's father, Pat Brown, dedicated a significant portion of the general fund to infrastructure. The general fund has been increased $36 billion in 6 years, and how much of that money has gone to transportation? Zero. So I think this is part of the mix.
Well, there's a $138 billion general fund. It's large, but the Sacramento Bee did an analysis of the Republican proposal, and they're saying, well, maybe not so much. So they're talking about a lockbox where they're going to set aside $1.3 billion there. They're talking about a car sales tax, $6.5 billion there. They're talking about administrative and regulatory reforms. They said billions. I'm not sure. Some kind of savings there. But they looked at each of these, and they said, well, you know, the bottom line is money's got to come from somewhere, so someone's budget is going to have to get cut. The concern on the other side, I think, is that if you do go to the general fund, well, then something else is going to get cut in the general fund, and or if you go then to local agencies, same thing, there are going to be budget cuts. Is that a concern to you?
Well, first of all, the Republican plan had a significant portion of money going to the local. So, and by the way, we do believe that the local governments should be well-funded and should be the point people on a lot of these transportation issues.
It's kind of a local control
issue. It is a local control issue, and we 100% agree with that. But remember, the LAO said that Caltrans was overstaffed by 3,500 engineers costing $500 million.
You know,
that's the kind of thing that we look at and say, if we're going to have that kind of waste and if we're going to have the international joke known as high-speed rail, that is transportation spending.
That's a whole nother, let's hold
that on. That is not different, because you cannot argue that high-speed rail is not a transportation.
No, but there's one thing I want to go back. You are right. The LAO did give a report saying that Caltrans could potentially be overspending by $500 million on staff, but they came back on a more recent report kind of pulling back on that analysis and saying, well, maybe not so much. The reality is, too, $500 million is a lot of money in anybody's view.
Sure.
But we're looking at a $54 billion maintenance shortfall. So the $500 million is not going to, it's, you know, what, 2% or whatever.
Yeah, but billions are being generated by the existing gas tax. Remember, if Proposition 6 passes, California will be, oh my gosh, in that horrible position of having the fifth highest gas tax in the nation. Explain to me and the taxpayers of the state of California, where we already have the highest income tax rate, highest state sales tax rate, why it is that we cannot even put asphalt on the roads by having the fifth highest gas tax in America. That doesn't make any sense.
President Trump's talking about an infrastructure plan. He's talked about, he's floated a proposal of a 25-cent increase
in the federal gas tax. Right. If it's good for the feds, why isn't it good for California? Have a 12 cent.
Well, as you said, he floated the idea. How far did it get? He got a lot of blowback on that, again, because I think Americans view themselves as overtaxed, and Californians particularly so. Again, we are in a situation where the middle class is being squeezed, and we're seeing 1.2 million people move out of the state in terms of net domestic out-migration in the last 8 years. And that's a lot of that's middle class people. If you can't afford to stay here, then transportation issues almost become secondary.
Yeah, California is no question, it's a high-cost state. Let me ask you one quick question. We only got about 30 seconds.
So, sure.
Part of this of Trump's plan was federal dollars, but in order to get federal dollars to the states, typically you have to get a match.
Right.
Are we kind of being penny-wise and pound-foolish by not having the money to make the match to get the federal funds?
Well, I think we do provide the funds, and one of the things we could do is we could move the truck weight fees that are currently being diverted to the general fund to pay off bonds, move those back to direct transportation. Right. And we could also apply the sales tax on automobiles to transportation. That makes sense.
It's a complicated issue, and that's why we had you here. Thank you very much for joining us. Up next, a business leader who supports the new gas tax and opposes Prop 6, Alan Zarenberg with the California Chamber of Commerce. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. Well, a major business organization has taken the unusual step of supporting a tax increase. Why? We're going to ask our guest. Alan Zarenberg is the president and CIO of the California Chamber of Commerce. So, welcome to the Maddie Report.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here and talk to your listeners and viewers. So,
thanks. So, Chamber of Commerce is coming out opposing Prop 6. Why?
Well, you know, we absolutely need to maintain our highway infrastructure. There's no question that it's crucial to our economy to make sure that we can move goods in California, we can get people to work, we can move the goods from our ports to the rest of the country. But it's also a safety issue. Infrastructure needs to be maintained. Absolutely. We need to invest in our infrastructure. So I think one of the things that's really important is this is a user fee. It measures how much you use our roads and how much you rely on those. And so you pay an equal amount to how much you use. And the last time the gas tax was raised, even though it's a gas tax, but it's really a user fee, was when George Takamajian, Republican, was governor and saw the need that we have to maintain our infrastructure, and that was 25 years ago.
Yeah, I was interested you said that because user fees are kind of a Republican concept.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting. But, you know, not all business groups are opposing Prop 6. There's some that are supporting it, like the California Farm Bureau. Why do you think they came to a different conclusion?
Well, you know, it's they use some fuel, obviously, for their farms to run their, if they have agricultural production, you know, whether or not it be their tractors or whether or not it be to run their wells for their water delivery. So they have, you know, they may have diesel. So they have a special peculiar interest there that's probably a business deduction out of their farms. But, you know, so they don't want to pay anything more at all. But for, you know, much of the people who are users who use the highways and not the farms, you know, for their travel, they need to make sure that the roads are safe, not only safe, but usable, and get rid of our traffic congestion.
Well, let me ask you this. Data indicates that gas in California is about 80 cents more per gallon than the national average. What do you say to those who say that this extra 12 cents a gallon is just going to increase that gap?
Well,
it's going to hurt the economy.
Well, let's put it this way. You have to pay for our infrastructure. It doesn't come for free. And the last time the user fee, the gas tax, was raised was 25 years ago. And so today,
a dollar only buys
half as much concrete as it did 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. So let me put it in perspective, because George Takamajian, you know, was governor during the Loma Prieta earthquake. He saw that our bridges need to be seismically retrofitted. He saw the need to maintain our infrastructure and invest in that. That was a Republican governor. We have a different governor, but still the same governor, Jerry Brown, recognizes we need to invest in our infrastructure today and in the future, or else we're all going to suffer both from safety perspective, but also from an economic perspective. We need to get our goods to where their destination.
Yeah, there's an ROI on that's kind of interesting. It's going to raise about $54 billion in fees, but the return on investment is $144 billion, according to some studies, of additional economic output. So a pretty good, a 2-to-1 return on investment, it appears to be. Let me ask you this. The proponents of Prop 6 are going to argue, listen, a new gas tax isn't needed.
that the $5 billion a year this is going to generate can be found elsewhere. We can, you know, cut the state budget. We can look at other ways to spend money specifically on capital products, on roads, regulatory reform. What are your thoughts? Is the shortfall on road maintenance because we're just not spending our dollars wisely, or there's fraud, waste, and abuse in government?
Oh, you know, with government, as with every aspect of government, you can always spend your money more wisely, but not to make up $54 billion over the next decade. And so everything else is on the margin. So you know what the opponents or the proponents of Prop 6 talk about? Well, we can take the rainy day fund. You know, we supported the creation of a rainy day fund because when the inevitable downturn comes, we don't want them raising taxes to fund general fund programs. And the people, the public voted to have a rainy day fund to substitute for general fund revenues so you don't have to raise taxes when that inevitable downturn occurs. So we can fund our schools, our health care, the things that the general fund takes care of today.
You know, and that's interesting you mentioned that because the rainy day fund, the money set aside, is about $16 billion. There's been studies that show that even a mild recession would cost about $40 billion. And so even though, you know, $16 billion seems like a lot to set aside, even in a moderate recession, it's not going to anywhere near cover the amount of the cost that's going to be incurred by the government.
Well, people will want that there. Mm-hmm. When the downturn, hopefully it won't be a recession, but a downturn is gonna cost
what
the state. What
goes up must come down.
And
right?
And do we want to maintain our schools, or do we want to raise taxes on everybody to fund our schools? And if you have that rainy day, if you divert that rainy day fund, first of all, it's a drop in a bucket compared to our transportation needs. But you'll use all that up. You'll have to raise taxes to fund your schools, like we've done in the past. And you won't have enough money for your infrastructure.
Well, there's your answer as to why you're opposing Prop 6. Thank you very much for that part of the conversation. Up next, the politics of Prop 6. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. Perhaps no proposition on November ballot has generated more interest than Prop 6, the effort to repeal SB1, the 12-cent gas tax, among other things. Our guests are Laurel Rosenhall with CalMatters and John Myers with the LA Times. So, John, although generally characterized as a repeal of the state's new fuel taxes and vehicle fees, there's an important aspect of this proposition that may be being overlooked, and that is it would require voter approval of any future fuel and vehicle-related taxes and fees. What are the implications of that?
Well, the implications simply are that the legislature won't be able to take action in the way it has in the past, and certainly won't be able to do what it did in increasing gas taxes in 2017, which is what this is all about. It really, to me, Mark, it's the sweetener of this, right? I mean, it's the thing, you know, voters love to vote in the state on ballot measures. And any idea
particularly
that
on budget matters.
Right. Well, budgets, taxes, things like that. Mm-hmm. Anytime you tell them you're going to get to have a say at that, that is what I think was designed to try to kind of boost that turnout. The polling hasn't shown it so far. I think they're struggling to get their message out. But I think clearly that was aimed at trying to get a yes vote that much more so.
Is it that ballot box budgeting issue again, Laurel? So what do you think? Pretty important implications if that thing passes?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, cities and local governments are terrified about this idea. And part of the problem is that, you know, this gas tax known as SB1 was really focused on maintaining the roads, really unglamorous kinds of projects, filling potholes, doing kind of some basic maintenance.
And it's a basic government function.
Correct. But if you are now tasked with going to the voters to ask for money, then usually you're going to want to peddle something shiny and new. And how are you going to sell voters on the idea of, you know, we've just got to pave the roads?
Well, let me ask you this. A lot of people seem to acknowledge that this proposition, Prop 6, is really about energizing the Republican base, getting them out to vote, and particularly in those contested congressional races in California. Will it be enough to overcome the Trump factor in California?
That was the goal. I'm not sure it's going to pan out, honestly. You know, the recent polling doesn't look encouraging in competitive districts. Only a little over a third of likely voters said they plan to vote yes on this. Now, you know, there's still another month to go, but the yes campaign doesn't have a huge amount of money, and I'm not sure in the end that'll be a huge game changer.
I think one of the most fascinating things out of this to me is that it's somewhat counterintuitive what you have to do as a voter here, because if you don't like the gas tax, you have to vote yes. Right. If you like the gas tax, you have to vote no. And that's not the normal messaging you get in a campaign. It's like, no gas tax, but yes,
vote yes.
On Prop 6. So I think that is struggling there, too. And honestly, they just don't have the money. I mean, all of the construction industry, the building industry, organized labor, the governor's backers, business groups are all in it for the gas tax to exist as it does. The backers of the repeal have not had money after those congressional candidates put the money in. It's a really tough race.
I think it's going to there are fractures there in the Republican Party between the business interests who want SB1 to stay in place and the anti-tax groups that want to get rid of it. I mean, isn't that critical?
Absolutely.
I think so. I mean, and the business groups have backed a lot of Republican politics in the past. You wonder if there's an after effect to all
this.
Well,
I think this is part of kind of a bigger evolution we're seeing with business groups in California. You know, they're no longer wedded to the Republican Party. You know, they have put a lot of money into fostering a cohort of moderate Democrats in the state legislature, right. And they have seen that the way to kind of get their policies across is to convince Democrats. So I don't see, I see this whole dynamic as kind of part of that bigger evolution
for
business.
Let's flip it. What about the Democratic Party? You got a situation there where typically they don't like regressive taxes mm-hmm. like a sales tax. Why haven't we heard more opposition from, you know, progressives and Democrats, you know, saying, you know, we don't want the gas tax either?
I mean, some people are saying that. It's not that no one's saying it, but generally you have just an enormous broad range of constituencies that want this thing, including, you know, construction unions and many of the trades, that this is going to be a ton of jobs.
I think that's right, and I think also, too, the backlog is real. There have been years and years
Anybody
and years.
Anybody who drives knows that.
Yeah, the backlog is real. And there really is no other way to do it. There simply hasn't been. You know, the opposition to the gas tax has said, well, you could use money from this pot or that pot or redirect this. But those are really complicated, very hard to do. I think the Democrats in the Capitol knew this was really the only thing to do. And even if they didn't love it, regressive tax is a really good point. They held their nose and went for it. And so we're going to see in November where the voters are.
Let me ask you this. Governor Brown's sitting on $15 million in campaign war chest. We don't know if he's going to run again for something, but let's assume he's not. Is he going to use some of that money to
not
help?
A chance.
Really?
Not a chance. I don't think so. Now, it's a bold prediction, right? I'll see if I'm wrong by the time voters see this show. I don't think he does, because I think that's his seed money to play in politics after he leaves in the end of the year. I don't think Jerry Brown's going away. I think Jerry Brown wants to remain a force. I would also point out to people that on the 2020 ballot, we think we're going to see another fight over his parole changes, which he really cared about in 2016, Prop 57. He could want to come back and campaign to that. They have plenty of money to try to protect the gas tax in this campaign. I don't think Jerry Brown's
going
to
make it unanimous?
I was going to give a softer no. I was going to say basically.
I went out there.
I was going to basically say only if he has to. I mean, if kind of like the polls start changing a lot, or, you know, someone comes in with a huge amount of money for the other side and circumstances really change, maybe he throws in a couple million dollars. But right now, there's no reason he would.
I want to thank our guests, Laura Rosenthal with Cal Matters, John Myers of the LA Times, Paul Galiluski from the California Legislative Analyst's Office, John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, and Alan Zarenberg from the California Chamber of Commerce. You know, make your voices heard. Vote. This is Mark Kepler for the Maddie Report. Thanks for joining us.
The views expressed in the Maddie Report are those of the individuals participating in the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the California Channel or the Maddie Institute. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the points and opinions expressed on the Maddie Report, visit our website at maddieinstitute.org. The views and opinions expressed in the Maddie Report are those of the individuals participating in the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the California Channel or the Maddie Institute. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the points and opinions expressed in the Maddie Report, visit our website at maddieinstitute.org.
The Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition, is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio, Cumulus Media, and the nonpartisan Maddie Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on politics and important public policy issues. This is KMJ.